The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
Do you see my name on the Zoom? This Zoom chat room, by the way.
Oh, gosh.
Does not say my name on there?
Just for you.
You enter your own name on there, and I didn't.
If you want to know what Rick's name was on the call, text poop anus at clownpenis.org.
How do you text something at clownpenis.org?
Just do it.
I almost did it when we had Vanessa on the call. I'm going to get off on the right foot here.
She joined
I'm almost 40 years old, and I'm making butt and 69 jokes.
She clicks on the call, and she's like, Mark Rogers, host, Buttman 69. They're talking about killing animals, and you just like leave meeting.
It's episode 217 of the Simply Human podcast with your hosts Mark and Rick. Two human beings being human. Our goal is to help you understand how humans are designed to eat, sleep, move, and enjoy, and how you can start living more like a human today. On today's show, it is Tim Campos, the former CIO. At Facebook, is that Chief Independent Octopus?
Chief
Igloo.
Where the starts with I? Chief Igloo. Wait, CIO.
Oh, the O could be orange.
I think it starts with an I.
Oh, maybe information. The former CIO at Facebook. He is now the CEO. Okay, hang on. CEO. Just kidding. Of Woven. And so he's using lessons that he learned at Facebook to reimagine the way people use their calendar so they can spend time on what matters most to them. This is an Enjoy Life podcast. This
yes.
section. Rick, I met Zendaya. Zendaya. Shoot. I messed her name
okay,
up.
Okay, how do you say it?
Zendaya.
Okay.
She's super famous.
When you sent this picture to our text group, I was like, all right, Mark has taken a picture with a strange 20-something-year-old girl. And if you would have immediately attached the name, I would have been like, yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yep.
I don't know who the face. I don't know the name. It is...
Well, you don't have daughters.
Any teenage kids, so
right.
Yeah.
So she was apparently on Mickey Mouse Club, but that's not how I know her. She was one of the leading women in The Greatest Showman, starring my good personal friend Hugh Jackman. Actually, one of the things I said to her,
that is a joke for two other people.
I said,
besides me and you.
I said, tell Hugh that Mark said hi. That's where she became wildly popular. She's in the Spider-Man movie.
Wildly, I feel like wildly popular means that I would know who she is.
She's not to the middle-aged
policeman. Here, like, I know who like Tobey Maguire is.
She was the voice of one of the Abominable, that new movie from DreamWorks, Abominable. She's the voice in that.
Okay.
She's in Spider-Man. You should look through some of the Spider-Man pictures. So
there's a whole bunch of Spider-Mans. So
yeah, I know. Can we cool it with the Spider-Mans?
There's like 20 of them.
Bruno Mars, Spider-Man, Beyonce, Zendaya. Okay, so we're standing. Okay, so you all know in New Orleans, there is the famous Bourbon Street. Right? Mm. You know of that.
Harumph.
There is another street near there called called Frenchman Street.
Oh, okay, so you're on the fake Bourbon Street.
Well, this is like the, like, I'm trying to think of, like, the equivalent of, like...
Listen, you guys are all familiar with, like, Wall Street in New York, right? Well, I was, like, two streets away on, like...
Maple. Yeah.
Oak. It's just as famous.
No, that's not what I'm saying. It doesn't matter how famous the street was. The fact that we were on Frenchman Street makes it even kind of weirder. Because we were like, Bourbon Street is crazy. Let's walk over here where it's not so crazy. And there's actually some good music. There's bands playing. It's not so debaucherous. And so we were on Frenchman Street, just walking around. And it was Saturday night. And it was a very chill night. There were not a ton of people walking around.
Not a bunch of women just walking around trying to get some beads.
Now, that's one of the reasons. We're in December. There was none of that going on. For the record, it was December.
You've gone in the wrong month, apparently.
We went on the right month.
Oh, because you met Zenflaya.
So listen. So we're standing there, and my brother Brad, who you know, he's got a daughter who's 13 who is, like, obsessed with Zendaya, right? I mean, like, that's her demographic, okay? Like the 13-year-old girl at this point. Okay. So Brad obviously knows who she is. So we're standing out on the sidewalk of this, like, bar or restaurant with, like, a little...
I'm sorry. You just said we're standing out on the side outside this bar or restaurant.
No, like, you're trying to be a bar/restaurant. Like, this, like...
Oh, okay. So you're, like, by Chili. You're, like, outside an Applebee's.
It's more like an Applebee's. Right. No. And so there's
New Orleans version of Applebee's.
There's this window... And we're looking through into this window, and there's this band playing. It's this guy, it's like bluesy guy playing a guitar, singing some old bluesy songs. And we're just standing there.
From The Simpsons, Bleeding Gums Murphy.
Yes. So we're just standing on the sidewalk watching. There's like 20 people around us. It's not like this crazy New Orleans scene. We're just standing there watching this band. We'd been standing there for about 5 minutes. And here she comes walking up the sidewalk, and I immediately recognized her, like when I saw Terrell Owens.
How did you immediately recognize her,
because,
by the way?
I don't know. I'm looking for famous people all the time. I don't know. So I immediately recognized her, and it was like I immediately thought, like, that.
Oh my God.
I think that's Zendaya. Like, I'm on 99.
That's Zendaya. That's Zubalaya right there.
So she's with a super tall guy, like the 6'8 guy. Who I'm assuming was her boyfriend and her bodyguard, and we figured out it was her bodyguard, and I'll tell you why in just a second.
Because he punched your face.
Because
he your bottom.
He 2-day videoed me.
So he made you crouch down as slow as you could to the ground, and he kicked you in your balls from
as hard as he could. So she comes. This the group of three come, and they're standing like where I could reach out and touch. Them like Ooh. That's how close they were. So you know Jeff, my other brother, who had like lived in New York for a long time, like he has like all of these incredible stories of all these celebrities, but he doesn't have proof because he is not obnoxious enough to take their picture.
Yeah, listen, I was walking into a porta potty, and Robert De Niro was walking out.
He has a
toilet paper attached to his heel of his
Who's
shoe.
The girl? Who's Black Widow on the Marvel movies?
That sounds racist.
Black Widow, the spider girl.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying she was... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I've got it. You know who I'm talking about? I can see her face. Scarlett Johansson. He's got, like, Reese Witherspoon stories. I mean, like, all of these crazy... Like, Jennifer...
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, he's got all these crazy stories, but he doesn't like...
I'm sorry. About who?
Reese Witherspoon.
Your brother's met Reese Witherspoon?
Yes.
You have to tell me about this. Like Reese Witherspoon.
Do you like Reese Witherspoon, Rick?
Listen, I'm not pulling the curtain back too far, but
wasn't she in that
celebrity? It's my celebrity crush.
Wasn't she in that? Was it Barely Legal? That movie she was in.
That is not the name of the movie. I've seen that movie several times, and I've seen all the sequels that you.
Oh wait, I'm thinking of.
I don't think she's in that movie.
Legally Blonde, Legally
Barely
Blonde.
Legally Blonde. Plus 5 points for Mark for that joke. That was classic.
Thank you. Thank you. So anyway, so I lean over to Jeff and I'm like, dude, that's Zendaya. And he's like, I don't think it is. And I was like, it's her. So I take a half step up and into her ear, I say, are you who I think you are? And she turns around and kind of gives me the smile like, you nailed it. You're like, yes, you know.
And then she pooped her pants.
Yeah. And then I pooped my pants.
Are you who you think I are? Yeah. You are.
So she turned around and smiled. And I she LeBron James'd me. Like, that was the most. How we have not talked about that.
Oh, that's a classic. I love him forever now, by the way.
Hold on. We are a little hot here. Turn your mic down just a hair. I didn't even check the levels. Yeah, your main mix.
Main mix is down a little bit. Okay.
Try that. Say something now.
Hello, LeBron James. Okay. Farting.
Okay. I'm gonna pull that up, and we're gonna listen to that audio. We've got like 12 minutes.
Oh, okay. That is such a great. Okay. for everything I didn't like about him, I love him now.
He's the greatest. He is truly now the greatest of all time. So are you who I think you are? And she turns around and comes and gives me the smile, like yes. And I had already had my camera open, like with the selfie camera activated, right? I'm not going to sit there and like fumble around for it, right?
Text message is open. Hang on. Let me scroll back over.
I'm not used to the latest update. I'm not sure of the shortcut here to get to my camera. So I was like, I said, can I get a picture? And she said, yes, of course. And so I took the picture, which you've seen. And then I looked at her and I said, I'm a big fan. And
that's a lie.
And I walked back. I am a big fan of hers.
Okay.
So, okay.
Name me one other show that she's been on.
We just said Spider-Man.
Besides Spider-Man.
The Abominable.
That's not how you pronounce it at all. You are not a big fan.
Abominable. So,
not you failed.
But this is the funny part, okay? So I react. I got the picture. Brad did not react. Brad, who has the daughter who is in, like would actually think the picture was cool. He walks up right after me and the bodyguard denies him. And she doesn't and he doesn't let anyone else take a picture with her. But there wasn't like that many people that recognized her. Like there were just people standing around and and she just stood like right by us for like the next 10 minutes, just standing there.
I have two questions.
Okay.
Question one.
Okay.
Is the bodyguard the best job in the world?
Because
you just say like, nah, you can't take a picture. Sorry. You like get in the way and you just be big.
I think it would be a pretty good little job. Did I sent you the picture, right? Look at the picture again, if you can.
Hang on. I've got my phone. If I can. No, my phone was confiscated by the Gestapo, and I can't.
Well, I delete that thread pretty regularly, so I would.
I can understand why. Yeah. Yes, I'm looking at the picture now.
See the bodyguard looking at him? Looking at me?
Is that him in the left corner with the hoodie on?
Yes.
He does not look pleased at all. I
snuck in under his radar and snapped the picture.
He's like, dang it.
Yeah, this guy.
I'll let this goofball take a picture.
So that was cool. So she did not.
Hang on.
Okay. You have hang on. Question.
Question two.
Okay.
So the glasses that I wore in 1988.
They're back.
In third grade. They're back all the way now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Jen has a pair. I know. You should pull them out of the.
I should have.
You should put them out of the locker that you paid to take from your middle school and leave in your attic.
God, if I would have those glasses back, I'd finally be cool.
Finally. After all these years. my structure polo shirt is finally in style.
It's got six buttons on it. It's an authentic structure. Come on.
Okay, so what she did not do to me, which I wish that she had, was this.
Oh. We're huge fans.
Good luck tomorrow at the game, guys.
Go Zaire.
We're big fans.
Bronny James.
Oh my You can't hear it on the audio.
Yeah, you can, like, it's right when he goes.
You can barely hear it.
He says,
so to set the stage, Mark, put this in the show notes so people can see this.
Hang on, let me.
But, like,
it's right there.
LeBron and, like, four guys are walking out of a restaurant, and, like, some TMZ bloodsuckers are, like, outside waiting for him to come out. And
it's
they're
dark.
Walking out, basically just trying to get his attention, like, hey, LeBron, we're good luck.
Their tone of voice.
Like, Bronny. And
fans.
LeBron,
Bronny
the video is LeBron's about to get in the SUV, and he lifts his leg and just.
All right, see if you can hear it. Let's play it again and see if I can hear.
Okay.
Right there. Did you hear that?
Again?
That was it. Just atomic blast. And I mean, they're probably a good 60 feet away.
Yes.
I wonder if this isolates it. Hang on.
We're big fans.
Bronny James.
Right there.
You can hear like a little digital like.
We're
guys, go Zaire.
We're big fans.
Bronny James.
Oh, here we go. Right there. Wow. How does that only have 20,000 views?
I wish, because that's what Zendaya. I wish that's what she would have done to you. Hey, Zendaya, I'm a big fan.
Just would have
walked away from you lifting one leg and just.
Something else that we did on our brother's trip in New Orleans. There was one, I guess it was.
Why did you guys go to New Orleans?
That was just, Jeff was there for a job. Like in the summer, and was like, God, New Orleans is fun. Like we never have come here. We should come to New Orleans for our trip. And like December, that weekend was like the weekend that we could all three do it. And it was really fun. We stayed like downtown, and it's a fun little place. And there's cool little places to eat, and there's little balconies, and there's bubbles, and it's great. So
I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah. On Saturday afternoon, we sat around. Like, you know, we would get up. Like, go have, like, brunch or breakfast. I did not eat breakfast because I only eat before noon twice.
Did you eat any beignets?
I did, actually, yesterday.
Okay, you kind of have to if you're there, but yeah.
But I did not eat before noon because I only eat before noon twice a year.
Add that to the bracky montage.
I played Jeff.
Twice a year. Can you name the dates?
I played Jeff the and remember when I, that was the and remember because you were like, oh, if you only eat before noon twice a year, don't guzzle like 5 gallons of Bloody Mary mix and then not have a bathroom plan. And then we got on that. And so then the three of us listened to the entire Santa Talk episode 60. And we're all three like crying.
It's such a good show.
And it's,
episode 60.
If you just read the transcription of that, it would not be funny. It's your laugh is what makes it so.
I start rolling
funny.
Downhill. Like it was downhill really quickly.
And then we were all in that kind of giggle laugh mood. So then we listened to the entire Urban Prank, all 12 minutes of the Urban Prank.
Oh, that's like such a good one.
And we're just in the same kind of deal there. Like you're laughing on that one is it just, and then when you call like, hey, Steve, this is Chris Brown from the Larry Brown Realty Group. We're wondering if you. And he goes, not Steve. And you go, oh, I'm sorry, Steve. And you call him, and then you call Steve. and then at the very end of the call, you go, oh, all right, well, thanks for your time, Steve. You call him Steve like 3 times after he's like, not Steve.
I made him so mad.
Wrong again.
I need to revisit the Steve prank.
Oh, so good. That's been like 4 years, 5 years ago now.
It's been a while. It's been a long while.
Yeah. But anyway, so that was fun. New Orleans was fun. And then it's Christmas, and so we're off for a couple of weeks here in Christmas. I think, do we have, so while we're looking at this, we're off the next 2 Mondays, and then we're back on the 6th, and we've got someone on the 13th, and we've got someone on the 20th, and then we have someone on February 3rd, and February 10th, and February 24th, and into March.
March. Because I was about to say, that week of February, I think it's 16th, we my extremely important conference.
So the 17th, you're out?
Is that a Monday?
That's President's Day.
I'm celebrating President's Day by being at an extremely important conference that day.
I will make sure to not schedule one for that day. Okay, it is about 8:30. Let's hang up this call, and we will call Tim, and I'm excited to talk to – I'm going to – man, I can't wait to tell him about that I've been to Facebook. Did y'all really not see the penis fish?
I did see something about this, but
well, it's funny because like
what a way to enter the call.
The last 5 minutes, I'm like, Rick, don't say anything stupid. He could hop on at any moment. So, because last time he put his name in Zoom as Buttman69, and I was like, don't do anything.
That's not true.
Stupid like
not
that.
True. No proof. Fake news. Fake news. Fake news. Fake news.
All right. Well, here we go. So, thank you. Sorry. Everything going
please
okay
start the interview, Mark, at the recording of. Did you see something about the pulsating penis fish? That's where I want you to start the whole interview.
Well, okay. So Tim is with us. We have him now. Tim, where are you at this moment?
I am in my backup office.
Like, what city are you in?
Oh, I'm in California. I'm in Mountain View.
Okay, cool. Is that where you're from?
Yes.
Very cool. From California. I have a question I want to ask you. It's kind of a poll question. I want to gauge something. Do you know who Zendaya is?
Nope.
Dang it.
How would I know who Zendaya is?
Where's Rick? Is Rick still there?
I'm right here.
Why aren't
I'm
you,
right here.
Why aren't you
like,
gloating?
I was waiting for the answer to come through. Yes. Let me be clear. You're over the age of 13, right?
I am over the age of 13.
Okay, so I think we've confirmed that
okay.
If you're over 13, you don't have any idea who this is. And if you're under 13, I don't care who you are.
Well, she's an actress, singer. She was in The Greatest Showman. She was in the most recent Spider-Man. I happened to run into her on the street, and Rick doesn't think it's a big deal because nobody knows who she is. And I was like, no, she's an internationally huge, famous person.
Zendaya in The Greatest Showman was the...
The trapeze person.
The trapeze girl?
Yes.
Okay, I do know who she is.
Oh, well. Well,
she was also in Spider-Man.
Correct. Yes, okay, he knows.
Yeah.
See? Okay. All right, so Tim, we've already...
Tim's under 13, I guess.
he lied to us, yeah. So, okay, so we've already done an intro for you, but I am very interested to hear your story. And I was actually, while we were waiting, I was talking about... we're scheduling some people, and I've been using Calendly... But I know that you have Woven, and I was kind of looking at Woven, trying to figure out, is this like a Calendly type thing? But we're going to talk about that. So I want you to kind of give your Cliff's Notes version of your story. I know you were at Facebook, and now you're CEO of Woven. Kind of give us your story in your own words.
So you want the story on me, or you want the story on the company?
Let's do you, and then we'll get to the company
right.
In a second.
All right. The story on me is I'm a productivity nut. This is basically been my life. What I'm good at, I bring the fusion of technology and business. I'm an engineer by trade. Spent most of the first half of my career as a software engineer building things. Second half of my career in IT roles, basically achieving business results with technology. And that's basically what IT departments do. And as the CIO of KLA Tencor and then Facebook, that was my job. So in KLA Tencor's case, save money. Facebook's case, make the workforce more productive.
Hey, real quick. But in CIO, what does the I stand for?
Information.
Information.
Okay, we were debating on this in the intro if it stood for like idiot or like...
sometimes
we didn't know. Like me and Mark were a couple of business idiots. We didn't know.
Hold on, Rick. I was doing a bit. I didn't know that you actually didn't know what CIO stands
for. I don't know because I'm not an important business person. Yeah. So I don't know.
Well, it's actually not that crazy of a question because if you were to
thank
go
you.
To...
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. Thank you.
If you lived in the East Coast of the United States, CIO could just as easily mean chief investment officer.
Ooh.
See,
yes.
That's what I was thinking,
oh,
Mark, you
right,
idiot.
Right.
Mark, you stupid idiot. I was thinking
I'm the chief idiot chief officer.
Invest man. I was thinking chief invest man officer. Invest so man. There you go.
Yeah. You know what? When I got into the profession a long time ago, they used to say that the acronym meant career is over.
No. You're like, whoops. Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah.
Well, I used that quite successfully in trying to convince people they did not want my job because why would you want this? And your career will be over.
Right.
So.
Well, okay. So were you in the Palo Alto campus? And Facebook
app, yes.
So, Rick, as
not of the university that's there, because I'm a Cal guy, right?
Right. Bears. Well, as Rick knows, my wife,
My wife
started a Facebook group, and it has about 50,000 women in it. It's called World's Okayest Mom, and Facebook is using her group in this More Together campaign. So we were out there. We toured around and saw the foxes on the roof. Of one of the buildings. So
Mark saw a box of cereal bars and women's sanitary.
I did take
the bathroom.
I did take lots of toothbrushes and things out of all of the bathrooms.
So that's why Facebook costs so much. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Yes. Okay. So let's now talk about Woven. Like, how did tell the story of how you started that? And like, as I'm looking on the website, and I'm imagining that it is up to date. It says like y'all are still like in beta testing. Is that right?
Yes, we are still in beta. So when I was at Facebook, one of the things that really vexed me was the calendar. The calendar was not my friend. It was this evil thing that just wanted to suck up all my time. And in many ways, one is I just felt like I was a slave to meetings. I had no time. But also, I was the purveyor. I was the responsible party for the calendar. And when I first got to Facebook, it was breaking left and right. And so that motivated me to get into the nuts and bolts of how do calendars work and why are they such awful pieces of technology? And everything I learned just horrified me, just scared me to death that I could not believe that so many people in this world use this just terrible, terrible piece of technology. And it did not surprise me that when you ask people how they feel about their calendars, most people will use negative emotions. I've yet to find somebody who's like excited about their calendar, where their calendar makes them feel good.
Right.
With time, after 6.5 years at Facebook, as I was starting to think about things that I wanted to do next, this was an area that was interesting to me, in large part because it seemed such a big opportunity. Almost everybody uses the calendar in some way, shape, or form. Even my kids are starting to use the calendar. It's not really been innovated on in the better part of 2.5 decades. And the subject of the calendar, time, that's the most meaningful thing to us. It's much more valuable than money. Time is the most valuable asset that we have. And so it just seemed to me there'd be a much better way to manage time. And so that's what got us motivated in to create Woven. And, the product in a nutshell is basically intelligence for the calendar, trying to make it a lot smarter than what calendars are able to do today.
Right.
See, what I do is I take like one of those page a day calendars and I write my appointments on there on the page a day thing, but I only have room for like one thing a day. And so I'm constantly missing pretty much every appointment other than one per day. And so then my handwriting is really bad and I can't read or write or any of that stuff. So like it's a complete mess.
It's funny.
But I have a funny Far Side. I have a funny Far Side cartoon every day. So I've got that going.
There you go. So calendars, most of old school productivity software, like think the whole Microsoft suite, is a digital representation of what used to be on paper. So like email, what's email? Email is the electronic memoranda. Like you ask your kids, what the hell is a memoranda? They don't even know what that means.
Right.
But memoranda had, a very structured, formal way of like disseminating communications. It's not the way the humans do things, but it made sense when you had to distribute communications on paper. In today's day and age, things like messaging apps, text messaging, Slack, that's much more natural. It's the way that humans want to collaborate, particularly when you put them into a digital context. Calendar, if you look at the calendar, what was calendar? Calendar was a diary, paper diary. And it was very much exactly what you said. Like you could only put so much stuff on that paper diary. But now we're like hyper connected. People are sending calendar invites because you got distributed workforces and people who work in different time zones. And there's all these different complexities. But the calendar is still just this paper diary that's just been digitized. It's stupid. It's disconnected from the things that we're spending our time on. It doesn't understand you know, the difference between, say, date night with my wife and a dinner meeting with a really important candidate I'm trying to recruit. And so it doesn't help me get things done. If anything, gets in my way to doing things.
Right. Yeah. You know, so the other thing is, how about whenever you send like a group invite to a bunch of people, and then like somebody like replies all, or they do something, and then the whole thing changes to like everyone else, you know, and then it's like, I don't know. There's just, that drives me crazy.
Well, just imagine all the text messaging or email streams you've had where you're like, hey, let's get together, you know, the families for the holidays, you know, what day would work? Well, Friday doesn't work because of this, and Saturday doesn't work because right. of that. And you end up with all this back and forth. It's just, it's inefficient.
Right. And you
can't, what's the technology that you can point to that says, okay, solve this for us? It doesn't exist.
Right. Right. And then, yeah, I guess that's kind of like what Doodle Poll is. And so what is, like, Doodle Poll is the devil. Is that, like, in your opinion? Like, what's the deal with Doodle Poll?
Well, I don't think it's the devil, but it's, you know, Doodle, it's the problem with all these things, like Doodle and Calendly and all that, is they're all bolt-ons, right?
Right.
So, you know, in order to solve the problem of scheduling, you end up with a... you know, a smorgasbord of tools that don't talk to each other. So you got to know, when do I send the calendar versus the Doodle versus the calendar? And Woven integrates that into one experience. So it's, and it understands the different kinds of events. It helps you schedule them. And so you don't have to think so much about it. You just have one place to manage all of your, all parts of your life.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. So let's get into some of this other stuff. So, you know, we talk about calendars and productivity. You would think that, okay, I want to be as productive as possible. Enter the calendar. But why are calendars killing your productivity?
Well, some of it we already talked about. There's all the back and forth on scheduling.
Right.
Scheduling is this, it's not an automated task. It is a very manual task. You know, all you have to think about is, you know, when you're proposing times to somebody, how do you do it? You usually write an email, and you'll write out, okay, next Thursday at 2, Friday at 1, or the following Monday at 10 a.m. These are the times that would work for me. And you pick. That's inefficient.
Right.
So that takes time. And in some cases, depending on, you know, how big of a meeting, I've talked to many people who say they spend 5 to 10 hours a month doing nothing other than coordinating calendars.
Jeez. Yeah.
So that's one way that calendars take our time. But the second way, imagine you go into a meeting and, you know, you don't have all the things that you need. Like, let's say it's an interview with a candidate. You know, do you have the resume? Well, the resume is usually not an attachment to the calendar event. So you got to go into your email and you got to find that. And then maybe somebody Slacked you. Hey, these are the three questions I want to make sure you ask this candidate while you're with them. So you've got to go back into Slack to go find that stuff.
Right.
You're not prepared. And if that... interview with that candidate had to move for whatever reason, that information doesn't go along with it. It actually just becomes harder and harder to find. So that's the second way that calendars make it difficult for us to get things done. The third way is that, you know, the way that calendars work is they think about, like, we have free time and we have busy time, and we can give away the free time and the busy time we'll preserve. But that's not how, like, that has nothing to do with what's important in our lives.
Right.
I might have something on my calendar that I am absolutely willing to drop to meet with you because you're so important to what I need to get done. And at the same time, just because I have free time on my calendar doesn't mean I want to necessarily meet with the salesperson who wants to sell me something I don't want to buy.
Right.
So free busy is not the right way to think about it. And so what you really need is a technology that understands, what are your goals? What are you trying to get done? How do you want to allocate your time? And which then conforms to that, helps you with that.
Okay, so you have this concept. It's like no meeting Wednesdays. What is that concept? Does it have to be on hump day, as Rick refers to it?
It's usually what your mom calls it, but...
Excuse me.
I just call it Wednesday.
Excuse me.
Well, okay, so we all have this, like, there's it's a gross oversimplification, but it generally holds. There's two ways that we think about time, right? We have, like, maker time, thought time. I need to think. I need to... Maybe if I'm a software engineer, I'm coding. If I'm, you know, a marketing person, I'm building out that marketing campaign, or I'm writing, or I'm, you know, putting together the pitch deck for my next round of investment. All of these are different examples of where you need continuous, uninterrupted time. And the context switch, when you're in this, that mode, is very, very expensive. If you interrupt an engineer who's coding, then, you know, they have to like remember where they were at in order to continue on to the next thing when they're done with that meeting with you. So Facebook recognized this early on, and we came up with a simple gross solution to it. And it worked when the company was small to mid-size. It started to break when the company got larger. And it existed largely because, again, calendars are stupid, so they couldn't help us with this. But really, the idea is let's preserve maker time for engineers. And we'll preserve that day, Wednesday, so that the engineers could be most productive on that day of the week. And it's not to say that the other days we don't want them to be productive. It's just that one day we're going to honor them by not scheduling meetings for them.
Yeah.
And that really is just preserving maker time. And this is a technique that a lot of people follow, is that they will block off time on their calendar at repeated times of the week where they just won't do meetings so that they can get other things done. And it's, if you want to be productive, it's one of the easiest and fastest ways to achieve that.
So at Facebook, there are meeting rooms galore, and you know, there's like you're walking around this little tour. You know, there's like all these little rooms, these little pods, and they all have iPad like scheduling little things. I don't know if they're iPads, but little tablets where you can like go in and schedule these little rooms. So obviously, Facebook doesn't think like the business meeting is a total waste of time, right? So that's not what you're saying.
No, not at all. Yeah. In fact, for a lot of roles, the meeting is how you get stuff done. You know, when I was the CIO at Facebook, if you took away the meeting as a tool for me, I would be relatively useless. Like I could do research, I could maybe write some emails, but I wouldn't have the chance to meet and collaborate with people to debate stuff and then make decisions and find out what issues are getting in the way with those decisions being executed. That's what the meetings were for. Right. But the flip side is there's definitely a world where there's too much of it. If I don't have the time to follow up from the meetings that I go to, then what's the point? I can't tell anybody about the decisions that we made. So there's an optimal amount of meeting time for people. Every person is different. And most people have a general understanding of what that optimal meeting time is. They don't know the exact number. They can feel it. They can feel that, oh, I'm too busy this week. I have too many meetings.
Right.
But you know, if they have an analytical tool like Woven, they can know exactly what that number is for them. In my case, it's 25 hours. I get above 25 hours, I'm feeling unproductive.
Right.
But meetings are not by their nature bad.
Right.
That doesn't mean that there aren't bad meetings.
Right. Right, yeah. And that kind of leads into my next question is like, you know, sometimes you go to a meeting, it's about another meeting that you're going to have, you know, and it's like, right. What is the point of the meeting for the meeting? Like, so what are some things that you can do to make sure? Cause like, you know, I'm kind of in charge of this committee for this organization, for where I work. And it's like, there's all these people and they're in Dallas and they're in Houston and they're all over the place. And like, we're going to meet for an hour, like once a quarter. And I don't want to waste anybody's time. Like, I don't want to okay, why did we do this for an hour? Like, I want to get to the end of this meeting and have like, you know, things that we're all doing. And it's like, so what are the best practices to like make it an actually productive meeting?
Well, a few things. I'll start with some obvious ones and then I'll get to a couple of ones that are a little bit less obvious. So, you know, one is that, you know, force people to have agendas if they're going to schedule time with you. Right. What is it that you want to get out of this conversation? What decision do you want me to make? Or what piece of information do you need to tell me about that you have to tell me live? This was a practice that Cheryl put in place. You couldn't get time on Cheryl's calendar unless you had a very clear understanding of how you were going to use that.
Yeah.
So the second thing is make sure that when you're in that, you know, those meetings, you're prepared. You've taken the time to read that information ahead of time. It's a disservice to the people that prepared it if you haven't, consumed that information. Because now you have to spend the first, 15 minutes of the meeting just getting aligned on what it is that they had already told you that you could have learned about it ahead of time. The third thing, though, is like when those decisions are made, making sure that they're like written down someplace,
right,
followed through on, that there's an owner for that. If you have a chief of staff, this is a great use of the chief of staff to make sure that you have somebody to go along with you to like write down the decisions and make sure that they get executed.
Right.
If you don't, which is probably most of us, you know, that's what a piece of paper, you know, notebook or a product like Woven is good for.
Right.
Like, write down what the decisions are in this meeting so that you have them And they go along with that meeting when you want to know what happened. What did I, we met on this subject 2 weeks ago. What did we decide? You can go back to the event and see exactly what those decisions are. Right. Here's a couple of not so obvious ones. People who work at companies generally have about 40% of their time allocated with recurring meetings.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. My Tuesday is recurring meeting day.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, some of these recurring meetings totally make sense. They're like staff meetings.
Right,
like, you know,
right.
Of course, we need to have staff meetings. So that's a good recurring meeting. But a lot of them are like these recurring one-on-ones. Like, I want to meet with you like every quarter or every month or every 2 weeks. But what that it's not just a commitment of that 30 minutes of time. It's really 26 hours that you just gave to somebody every year
right. When
you do that weekly 30-minute meeting. So now, and I'm not asserting that those are necessarily bad, but you should think about it that way. You should think about, do I want to spend 26 hours with this person?
Yeah.
And so what tends to not to put people tend to overlook is they can free up time just by looking at the list of recurring events that they have on their calendar and figuring out the ones that are no longer serving the purpose that they were supposed to and dropping them,
right.
Ending them. In fact, you should generally do this at least once a month.
Huh.
It is, it's like pruning the tree. It's cleaning the spring cleaning of your house. It makes space for new and better things. And you have to have both the discipline and the edginess, the willingness to say, yeah, this doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Yeah. And just, you know, it's kind of like, when we talk about time management and like enjoying life, you know, that's one of the four pillars of the Simply Human lifestyle. It's like trimming the fat is one of the ways that one of the things that we say. And it's like almost like to use a sports term, like eliminating a false step. Like when you're playing defense, you know, it's like if you in basketball, football, whatever it is, if you are hockey, Rick's a hockey fan, you don't really take steps in hockey though. I guess you make
you kind of do.
You make an ice slip. So no false ice fall downs. Slip.
That's exactly what we call it. You got it. You nailed it. It's like you've been looking at the glossary today.
Sports is awesome. Sports is an example of time management done well. Like, you know,
Mark played at DeVry.
Shut up.
So,
like, let's take the least efficient of the sport, the football. Like, football is kind of a slow game, but you know, when they have meetings every single play, it's called a huddle,
right.
But it's timed. Right? They can only spend 25 seconds in that huddle, or they got penalized.
Yeah.
Now imagine if we took that into our day lives. Like, hey,
these are 25-second meetings. We're gonna like get together.
You know, every time we do something big, but we're only gonna spend 25 seconds on it, and we're like gonna, you know, make the decision and get out and execute this thing in that 25 seconds. I'm just thinking how much more effective and efficient.
Yeah, there'd be so much pressure. On everyone, like, hey, you got 15 seconds. I don't know. Oh God!
I just know that now I'm going to give Mark his 4 hours per month back that I spend doing the podcast with him. It's not a productive time, and so
it's been a good man. It's been a good run. Back. Yeah, thank you. Awesome. Well, okay, so we've got just a few more minutes here. Let's talk about Woven. What it is? Where can people find it? Like, what's it's woven.com/signup is where I went.
Internet.org.
Yeah.
Just go to woven.com and you get all the information you need there. If we are also available on the Windows, Mac, and iOS app stores. You can do a search for Woven on those things, or just go to Google if you're having trouble finding it. Just type in Woven and it will be the first thing that shows up.
And it's there. And so what, like, is there going to be, I know it mentioned like it's free in beta, and then what is like, have y'all figured out a price structure? What's the, what are the terms and like just the logistics of everything?
Woven is free today. We are introducing a premium version of the product next quarter that will have some additional features that we're going to be asking people to pay for. But there will always be a free version of Woven that people can use to get to know the product and understand it. And even the product that's, you know, we're the pricing that we're talking about is basically a couple cups of coffee a month.
Right.
So, you know, your productivity is generally worth a heck of a lot more than that.
Yeah.
If you're my dad, you would say, you should go to http
colon backslash
www.
Okay, we get it, Charles.
Interwoven.com.
Oh, it's Woven, not interwoven. WOVEN. And is there anything else that you want to talk about or promote as far as social media goes or any podcasts or articles you've written, books or anything like that that you want to talk about?
Oh man, you're definitely not going to get me writing a book. I'm not sure I could capture somebody's attention for 300 pages. But, yeah. I will say this: there's a ton of great stuff on our blog and our Facebook group on just different productivity methodologies that we're committed to, that we believe in, and obviously that was a pretty moving suggestion there because.
Sorry, I coughed and I couldn't get to the mute button in time, and I was like, "Oh God, maybe that'll blend in."
Yeah,
that'll be our previously on the Simian podcast. Rick just coughing into the microphone. Well, I will say this: that I have signed up for Woven.com, and I'm going to start messing around with it. And it is something like as far as like what Doodle and Calendly does, where you can send a link to someone and say, yeah, here are my available times, sign up for a time kind of deal. Like there's that feature, I guess. That's probably one of the basic features.
Woven is the fastest way to schedule. And okay. Even really complicated meetings, you can do them in just a couple of taps or a couple of clicks if you're on the desktop.
Cool.
It has saved me literally just dozens of hours.
Well, and I'm also going to sign up with my work Gmail, have an account for that too, because I'm always, you know, I've got board members and all these meet people that I'm trying to figure out. So I'm gonna try to use it.
Buy, sell. I'm Mark Rogers.
But it's also like you don't have to have like any sort of special. I mean, you just need the internet, right? And it'll work with your stuff. Like as far as like
Woven today only works with Google Calendar or G Suite calendars. We will be releasing an Office 365 version next month.
Cool.
So that one is coming very, very soon. And we'll be supporting Android sometime next year. We don't have a specific date there yet.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, Tim, this has been awesome. I really appreciate your time. And it's
I'm sorry I missed the conversation about the the ocean penises.
I need to. I'm going to actually put that.
It's the pulsating fish penis, I believe, Tim. I think that's what Mark was talking about right when you jumped
on. Ocean penises. I'm putting that in the show notes because that was a thing. There was an article, and it was like an actual article. These fish washed up on shore, and you didn't see this, Rick?
No, I did not, no.
All right, hang on. Let me Google ocean penis. Oh, I should not have Googled that. Just kidding. Rick, I will send you a picture of it. But Tim, I really appreciate it. This has been awesome. And I'll email, excuse me, got a bubble in my throat there. I'll email, I guess it was Heather, Jonathan and Heather, whenever this goes up. It'll probably be the first week in January. So we'll get it up and let you know when it comes out.
Awesome. Sorry I was a little late there.
No, you're fine. Thanks, Tim. Really appreciate it.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, see
you. You're listening to the Simply Human Podcast.
So that was Tim, and thank you, Rick, for burping right as we said goodbye to Tim.
That was not me burping. That was me going, like me saying, I'll meet you at the cross dock here.
All right, let's listen to it again, shall we?
We shall listen again.
And I will have input it right there. So that was very clearly a burp.
It was very clearly not a burp. It was very clearly me saying,
It actually did kind of sound
friend
like
this
that.
How you want fake news, man, but it's not that's not gonna work. You can call a Zendaya all you want, but
Zendaya
that's not how you say it. Fake news.
Awesome. Well, that was fun to talk to someone like that. I'm gonna look into this Woven thing so that productivity is important, Rick.
It is very important. You want me to like dispute? Are we going to debate the importance of productivity?
I just thought we were just going to sit there and just talk.
I like how I write my my appointments on the page.
Far side calendar. That's what it's going to come back to. It's like, look, here's the deal. Like, we're all too busy. You get one meeting per day. Here's your far side calendar. But anyway. Are you still there? Uh-oh. Where'd you go?
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Okay, I think I unplugged something, but I think I got it plugged back in.
Okay, sorry. Hang on for 2 seconds.
Okay.
Because I'm going to send you something, and I want you to commentator on it.
Okay.
And here we go. I'm Googling it. I'm going to send you this thing.
Texting it to me or emailing?
I'm texting it to you in four, three, two, one. And I want you to...
There it is.
Click on it and let's read this article.
I don't think I want to read this.
This is news.
This is fake news.
No.
That does not look like a fish, Mark. It looks like a penis.
We'll read it.
Beachgoers in Northern California have been stunned by the sight of what looks like thousands of disembodied penises washing up on the shoreline. A recent storm in Drake's Beach, north of San Francisco, uncovered a mass of worms from their burrows deep under the sand. The creatures, which are known as fat innkeeper worms or Eurycris calpo, were soon dubbed penis fish due to their phallic characteristics and distinctive coloring. Biologist Ivan Parr wrote in the journal Bay Nature that the same phenomenon had been reported in other areas on the California coast. Quote, yes, the physical design of the fat innkeeper worm has some explaining to do, he wrote. Whether or not you feel privileged by its presence, Eureka's calpo is almost uniquely a Californian experience, perhaps having the best claim for state worm. Mr. Parr, who measured the worms as 10-inch and described them as pulsing, said they are perfectly shaped to burrow underground. They feed by sucking plankton and bacteria into their burrow as sustenance, providing a food source for surrounding clams, shrimp, and crabs. Seagulls, otters, sharks, and other sea creatures prey on the worm, which has a lifespan of up to 25 years.
So a Eureka's capo sucks.
Mark's mom is going fishing in California. Back to you, Tim.
So that's what we're talking about right when Tim came
on. No. Listen. It's not what we were talking about. It's literally what you were talking about.
I'm going to have to go.
As soon as Tim jumped on the call, you're like, so have you seen anything about this pulsating penis thing? Hey guys, this is Tim. You're like, oh God, hey Tim, how's it going? We weren't talking about penis fishes.
I just
I'll be honest with you, this fish looks like a penis.
In the outro notes, I'm putting lots of editing in the outro. I'm gonna have to listen. I'm gonna cut out what you said about falling down on it.
Why are you cutting that out?
Because the voice that you used.
Listen, it's the voice of a man who accidentally tripped and fell onto a Eurycris.
That should be a new Gordon fake character.
No. Yes, Dr. I was strolling on the beach with I tripped and fell onto what I believe might possibly be a
worm fish.
Campo. I'm not sure exactly what happened. I can't get it out.
Okay, we let's go. We have lost everyone at this point.
I don't think we've lost anyone. I think everyone is waiting to see what you're going to say next.
So that is going to do it for this edition of the Simply Human Podcast.
And remember, disembodied penises.
So until next time, enjoy yourself.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.